Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Here we go. We start tomorrow.
So exciting. GFMB 2022, the Grateful for My Body Challenge starts, and we have thousands of people already in that are going to be moving through the month of November with us.
Oh my gosh, it is so exciting because this is just so incredibly different, really resetting the body, getting back to the baseline so we can get out of those consistent aches and pains that we feel on a daily basis and try ignoring. But the more we ignore, the more it's just going to tumble into something potentially bigger down the road. So we don't want to keep ignoring what our body is saying.
I know, I keep calling this the relaxation and recovery challenge because that often is what many of our biggest issue is taking the time and taking the chance to just relax, recover, understand that we might just need to do something different that helps down-regulate us a little bit to get at those aches and pains, to down-regulate and get the nervous system to relax a little bit.
Exactly. And we recommend getting in now before we start tomorrow because we have five self-assessments going over the pelvic floor, the sciatic nerve, the median nerve, internal rotation. So we're really going to assess the body as a whole, getting down to our joints, our nerves, and our baseline mobility with a guided workbook so you can take notes on what you're assessing, what you're feeling, so that you can note it also and reassess at the end of the 30 days. So right now is a perfect time. The assessment videos only take like 3 to 5 minutes to go through, so they're super quick and a little educational as well.
And there's going to be live sessions each week, so you're really moving through this month with an entire group. Everyone's going to be showing up on these lives, asking questions, talking about their wins. Guest lectures, which are always incredible. So go grab that link, get into the challenge community right now, and we will see you there tomorrow. Okay, so this is a topic that I'm excited to dive into because I know you get really fiery
I do.
About this topic. And when you hear people say things just like, oh, my hips are out of place, or they bump their hip on this corner of a table and say, oh, I knocked my hip back out of place. And it's just something that has kind of been ingrained in the way that we think about our bodies, that our joints are out of place, that our spine is out of place. And so we want to kind of talk about what the research actually says, how like this phrase, oh, you're just out of place, even came to be, and what we can actually start to do about addressing some of these things.
And you know, it's going to take a long time. Like, it's still being taught, I'm sure, in schools. I guess I don't know for sure, for certain, but it was, I think, going through school for me still as a physical therapist. Like
leg length discrepancies or things like that.
Yeah. And we do certain muscle energy techniques or manipulations, adjustments in order to help put the SI back in place or put the hips back in place.
When I went through school, we didn't use that terminology.
That's good.
It wasn't about putting things back into place. We had a better understanding of, or at least when they educated us, better understanding of what those techniques were actually doing to the system and why they might be beneficial. Mm. And that's what I think we want to clear up too, is like, we're not against using techniques like muscle energy or activation techniques or even adjustments, manipulations as a part of the path to feeling better. Mm-hmm. We just don't want to put in people's minds that these magical tricks are doing something to fix the body.
Right. Or because, put it back into place.
You know, really they're just tools that help kind of facilitate our physiology in a certain way that can help facilitate healing. Okay, I want to take a quick pause from this episode to talk about one of my absolute favorite things when it comes to the daily flow, and that's feeling comfortable. Whether you're lounging, working from home, or working out, Vuori is the clothing company that has the athletic and leisure wear that you've been looking for. Their core short is something to behold. The liner in them feels like a cloud. It is the most breathable, most comfortable liner. And their sweatpants, oh my gosh, if you're looking for something that you are just going to want to sit and rub your face against all day long because it's so soft, the sweatpants at Vuori are something that you should be looking into right now. It's something that I asked Jen for every birthday and holiday, hey, can you get me another pair of Vuori sweatpants and their core shorts? So if you want to check Vuori out, if you've been looking for some athletic or leisure wear or looking for something for your partner to wear, check out Vuori right now with the link down in the show notes. You can get a special 20% off your first order. So now's the time to go check it out and get something that you're going to feel good and move well in when you're working out or working throughout the day.
Well, it can help facilitate temporary pain relief. I think that's really what we're addressing.
Anything- and as a part of a more comprehensive plan, they can really help facilitate long-term healing by giving your system a little more slack or a little more, you know, room to be able to tolerate different movements or different exercises.
Yeah, but we just have to be really careful on what we say that these techniques are actually doing. And that's what we really want to help to clarify, because education in terms of what things, what's really happening to you, what really happens when you do these techniques is so incredibly important. Because when we hear, oh, your hip, one hip is higher than the other, so you're out of alignment, right? No. And I need to do this technique. Once I do it, oh, see, my thumbs are even now, your back, or your ankles are even now, you're back in alignment. So what I'm telling you is that you needed me in order to create this change, this magical change to help you get out of pain. And the only way that it holds is if you don't do too much that's going to make it go out of place again. And I think that becomes the narrative that we start to believe, and we become reliant on the technique that's going to put us back into place. And that's just not what is happening.
And to speak to these things that Jen's talking about, like different providers, whether it be a physical therapist or an athletic trainer or a chiropractor, will do leg length discrepancy tests. And they're the ones where they hold your ankles and kind of like see where your ankles are landing. Oh, this one's a little bit further. Like, now can you sit up? And then, okay. And then they do something to your pelvis or your knees, or have you do some sort of muscle energy, which usually requires you to push against them or pull against them in some way. And then they retest and say, oh, yep, they look a little more even now. Now you're, and historically, or the one where she's talking about a provider having their thumbs on your hips, and they usually find these knobby parts either in the front or the back of your hips called your ASIS or your PSIS, and they're just points on your sacrum, essentially, or on your pelvis, essentially.
Yeah.
And they find these knobby points and say, oh, one's a little bit higher, and they might have you bend over and say, oh, yep, one of them's moving, one of them's not. And historically, and in the research, these are very, very inconsistent tests, and they're very hard to do well. And a lot of them are only as good as the person's palpation plus their experience. And again, if a provider is doing that test consistently, it means they're looking for the issue that might not actually be
the
cause
issue
of the problem, or the issue that might not actually be the issue. If we're looking for something to blame our pain on, a provider will be able to find it.
Yeah, exactly. But I love that you point out these techniques too, because like, you might see something in a patient, I'll do the same testing and find something different.
Yeah.
Or see something a little bit different. So that's where we don't have good reliability on those tests, because a clinician can see and palpate something different. And the goal, obviously, and what we learn in school is to all find the exact same thing and all see the exact same thing. But it's just not going to be the case all the time, right? And if we're always looking for what's moving a little bit too much or what's stuck a little bit more, again, we are telling you that you are out of alignment in some kind of way, and we need to do some magical technique that's going to put you back in. And that's just not the case. Like, I want to repeat this over and over again. It is something I get fiery and passionate about.
Indeed.
But
she might even start crying in this episode.
but really, if your hip was out of alignment, you'd have like a dislocation. You would be going to the emergency room.
Dislocation of your hip socket, or if you dislocate your SI joint, which
would be so extremely,
usually comes from falling out of a building or getting in a car accident.
That would be so extreme.
Yeah, so extremely painful. There are cases where we might be talking about like hip dysplasia, where your hips might actually, we've done a podcast on hip dysplasia, and that might present a little bit differently.
Yes.
So that's kind of a unique case. But again, I think that this terminology is something that patients really want to grab onto that I'm out of place.
Yeah.
And it gives you something to attach that pain to,
yeah.
which is very powerful in our minds to say, oh, I'm just out of place. That's why I'm having pain. And it gives us that kind of rationale to say, like, this is why I've been having pain so much. So again, it connects these techniques to the fix for this pain, for the issue that isn't actually the issue.
Yeah.
And when we're talking specifically about SI pain, which we've also done podcasts on SI pain, mm-hmm. these tend to be what we call hypersensitivity issues, especially if it's something that's recurring. Mm-hmm. If it's a pain that's recurring, or if it's on the outside of our hip and it's more of a bursitis or a gluteal tendinopathy, or even something on the inside of the hip, like an impingement or an FAI. If it's something that's recurring, we tend to have been creating some sort of hypersensitivity issue, which means our system is just a lot more predisposed to feeling pain, which is why when you bump your hip on that table and suddenly that pain flares up, it's more related to you having a very sensitive system.
Yes.
And having a small, small thing that happens elicit or make that pain fire on. And that's what we should connect more with it. Oh, my system's really sensitive, and so small things might set me off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we should then empower these patients to give them tools like activations, like down regulatory, you know, activities that they can do, whether it be breath work, whether it be rib work, diaphragm, pelvic floor work, that's going to help calm that system down so that they feel the empowerment to say, like, oh, my system was a little bit too sensitive. I'm feeling my pain. Let me do these techniques to calm it down. Okay, pain has gone away. Amazing. Now I'm empowered to deal with that myself rather than immediately get on the horn and be like, okay, I need to call my provider so that they can do that magic technique and put me back into place.
I know. And this is what, you know, again, we've had from so many people, and it's usually one-sided. Right. It usually comes from this idea of, well, I only feel it in my low hip on one side, or I only feel it on one hip. And that's usually what's relating to this idea of, I must be out of place then, and I must be lopsided in my pelvis or rotated somehow if that is why I'm having that pain. And it, again, so incredibly important to understand that pain is due to a sensitivity that we're feeling, and these techniques help to decrease that sensitivity in that moment. So let's talk about some of them. Like when we talk about a muscle energy technique where you are pushing, a provider is kind of pushing against your leg and you're contracting against it, or you're pulling your legs in toward each other and they're pulling against whatever that muscle, that's a muscle energy technique if you've ever experienced that with a provider. Well, we're creating an isometric, meaning we're not moving, we're contracting in one state of a certain muscle group, and then we're relaxing. And when we create an isometric hold, we kind of help to create more of an analgesic effect altogether, but at the same time, we're also decreasing that sensitivity around that area because we're adding load, but on a low grade. So rather than saying, okay, go do this weighted step up or go do this weighted, you know, squat, we're actually just saying, oh, let me just push against my hand just lightly. So it's enough load, it's enough feedback to tell the brain this is safe. I can activate, I can move into this area, but then I start to feel something different. So it immediately starts to talk to my brain to help to reduce that sensitivity and that pain stimulation.
Yeah, one of my favorite things to do with people who might be dealing with different hip or pelvic pains is do muscle energy techniques just globally around the whole pelvis and hip, where you have them push out into your, or push the legs out into your hands, and then you have them squeeze in, and then you have them kind of do the rotational torque where they're pulling one knee up and pushing one down, and then do it the opposite way, because in my mind, what that does is it helps you basically activate all the muscles around the pelvic girdle, right? And to reinforce your point right there, when we do that, we're creating just like this immense sense of safety by activating all those muscles. It's giving us stability. It's making those joints feel safe. That analgesic effect, there's a lot of research that shows that isometric contractions have an analgesic effect where it kind of brings that pain down. It's going to increase our proprioception around a lot of those joints because we're, again, contracting and kind of centering those joints or their understanding of what all the muscles are doing and where they have the support from. So again, there's a lot of ways that we can use these techniques to get some of that down regulation, but it hasn't just magically snapped your SI joint back into place or changed your functional, you know, your leg length discrepancy that somebody might say you have. It's acting through these physiologic principles that then the provider should say to you, okay, now here's how I'm going to show you how to do this at home.
Yeah, and here's how we're going to start to load this area so you can tolerate more than just these isometric holds, so that you can tolerate walking up and down stairs, coming up a curve. Like, all of these things that you do at home is going to create more force than what your provider is putting in. Even if it's a high velocity manipulation or an adjustment that causes that cavitation, that noise, that pop that you hear that makes you think, you know, oh, something just got put back into place because I heard a noise. Well, no, that's not necessarily true. It's just a change of pressure, and it causes what we call a cavitation. And that cavitation creates a lot of neurological effects that drip down into our body and give us the sense of relief, give us the sense of release within the body, even releasing endorphins when we hear that pop and
muscle relaxation.
There's so much that good can happen, but it's not because it puts something back into place.
Yeah.
Right. And that's just what we have to reiterate over and over again. So when I do a manipulation or a technique on you, I can only generate a certain amount of force, like maybe 20 to 30 pounds at most is what I could put on you. But when you get off the table and you stand, you walk, you squat, you go upstairs, you are putting a ton more force through your body than I put in your body on a table. So how am I saying that I just put you back into place, but the moment you get off the table and you do something that's way more forceful, like a single leg step up on something, that's not putting you back out of place? You know, like, or stepping off a curb, hopping on one leg, running to catch a kid. All of those things are going to put more force than what your provider put into your body. So again, it doesn't make any sense to say this amount of force put you back into place, but what you do off the table isn't going to put you back out of place. It doesn't work like that. So what we are doing again is these neurological techniques to speak to the pain, to help those symptoms that you're feeling of pain, which can play a role to then say what we actually need to do if your hips are feeling out of place.
Yeah. And, you know, some people might be listening and saying, well, when I do suddenly run to chase my kid, that is when I feel like things go back out of place. And again, that's where we would refer you back to that hypersensitivity, or you suddenly ran and loaded that SI joint or that gluteal tendon or whatever it is that's hypersensitive,
stability.
You know, and you suddenly went and it loaded that joint in a place that it doesn't feel comfortable.
Yes.
And it went beyond that sensitivity threshold to elicit the pain, right? And so that's where, you know, some people might say, well, yeah, I do tend to do simple things that seem to throw me back out of place, or at least what, you know, a provider has said, oh, that probably just threw your hip back out of place. Mm-hmm. Again, it's not suddenly shifting your SI joint or throwing your, you know, back out of place or your hip out of joint. It's likely just putting you above that sensitivity threshold where your body will then perceive pain and send pain to the area and maybe cause some sort of spasm. And that's what's happening. Not throwing a joint out of place. Sorry if we've reiterated that a million times.
But I think we need to, you know? And so how do we then start to create more stability, right? And that's what we want to help to do. Even if you are hypermobile, even if you have increased laxity within those ligaments and you know that, great. The only thing we can do then is increase that strength and resilience. Our body is so incredibly resilient. And this is the other point that I forgot to mention before too. You know, in order to really cause change within the fascia or put force enough to manipulate the way that it holds or it forms, we'd have to put a ton of force, like literally a ton of force into fascia to actually cause any.
Well, and that would likely just cause tearing.
Right, exactly.
That's not like smoothing things out like with an iron, which that's what, again, people tend to associate with like getting tissue work or Graston work or things like that. Oh, it's smoothing out my fascia. It's smoothing out, you know, scar tissue or adhesions, which in one session of somebody doing some Graston work on you, they're not breaking up adhesions. It's not suddenly just going to cause your fascia to be smooth like a freshly ironed sheet or shirt. Like, that's not how it works. It influences the tissues in a way that will cause a little bit of relaxation, cause those tissues to maybe have a little more elasticity or laxity in that moment. But again, that's when we, as the providers, want to empower the person to say, okay, now that your system has a little more give to it or a little more laxity in it, let's have you do these exercises, this active mobility that's going to help retrain those fibers, that's going to help retrain that fascia in a way that over months we might get some good remodeling.
Right, exactly.
Because our body physiologically can remodel that tissue a lot faster than anybody's going to rub it out with a Graston.
And we've done a specific episode on, they're called instrument assisted soft tissue manipulation tools. So we've done an episode on IASTM tools. So go look for that episode. IASTM tools.
LMNOP.
Too many letters for me. But all of that to say again, okay, so now we need to start loading the body in a way that it can tolerate a new sensation. It can decrease that sensitivity, right? And so a lot of things that we get to look at is, one, just starting from the basics, starting from some activations. And this is why, like in our Gen Health plans, we don't go straight to workouts and stuff. Not that you can't. Like, you can still do workouts within your tolerable range. You just might have to either shorten the range of motion or decrease the load that you're putting on your body. That's fine. You can still move. But what we do within our programs is we're just trying to get those isometric activations so that your body starts to sense and feel something new, increase that proprioception. So when you go back to exercise, you feel more empowered to be able to load a little bit more over time.
Totally. I mean, the general progression that we tend to look for is, okay, do I have mobility in the area, right? Can I move those hips? Do I have good extension, internal and external rotation, flexion, all of the movements of the hip? Once I, you know, work on the mobility, do I have good stability within those, that range? So like, how can I find stability within the joint and then active mobility throughout those ranges? Is my active mobility significantly different than the passive mobility that I just tested earlier? And then that's when we can start putting that into different exercises, like different variations of squats or lunges unloaded in ways that are going to start loading the joint with body weight, but causing us to control within those different ranges.
Yeah. And we know that if we want to get back to feeling something different, especially a lot of times with SI pain, hip pain, a lot of these are elicited by single leg activities. So we have to start getting back into loading a single leg. We can't just do squats and deadlifts and expect change. We have to then say, okay, how is my single leg balance? How am I starting to lunge on a single leg? How am I starting to step up or load a single leg? You know, we have to start to load progressively over time, maybe starting again with smaller ranges, starting with body weight, and then progressively increasing the load, increasing our range of motion over time so that our body starts to decrease that sensitivity to the pain and increase the tolerance to load. We are resilient, resilient, resilient beings. And evidence just continues to show that our pain and disability cannot correlate exactly to what we see on an image. Because we know that other people who might have the same image have no pain. So how do we take you away from what you're seeing on the image or what you've been told about what's damaged and just take you back into tolerating a better sense of joint space, a better sense of load and resilience within the body? If you enjoyed what you heard, please pass this along to anyone who you know has been told the same kind of rhetoric so we can start to change the conversation and empower ourselves to move and feel something different. And if you're lacking mobility, if you are having pain and you need to decrease like those sensations of pain and start to decrease and change that sensitivity, get into the Grateful for My Body Challenge. We start tomorrow. I'm so incredibly excited. This is going to be a whole new challenge and something that you are going to feel so different with. And we have an incredible community joining us. So if you haven't yet, you know, this is something that you need to work on, underlying your mobility, improving your movement. come join us in the Grateful for My Body. The link will be below, and I'm so excited to get moving and have you feel something different.